a healthy Christian. You might notice on the screen we have a little bee up there, and we have this, and I'm going to play a little bit on the words with that, on how to be a healthy Christian. But this isn't something that Pastor Sam is making up. This is what God says. This is what God says to us about how we, if we are a Christian, can be a Christian that pleases God in the way that we live. So whether you are a young child, whether you are a grandparent, whether you're somewhere in between, God has a plan for each of us. And he wants us to be like Jesus. And so how do we do that? Well, God's word gives us the answers. If you have a Bible this morning, I encourage you to turn to John chapter 3, and we'll start in verse 16. We're going to look at a lot of passages this morning. So if you have a Bible, feel free to get that out. If you need one, there's one there in the pew for you as well. But we are going to be looking at what God has to say in his word about how to be a healthy Christian. We'll start in John chapter 3. I'll read two verses, and then we'll have a word of prayer. In your bulletin, there is a half sheet of paper that could be helpful as we go forward, and some blanks for you to fill in if you'd like as you help focus on what God has for us this morning. In John chapter 3, Jesus is speaking to a man named Nicodemus. And in verse 16, we have probably one of the most famous passages of Scripture that many people have memorized. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Let's start with a word of prayer, and then we'll start looking through God's word together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word of God that is always true. We thank you for the Bible. Thank you, Lord, for these holy scriptures that never will lead us astray, but will always lead us to God, will always lead us to loving you as you've called us to and loving others. I pray that this morning your word will be very clear to us. I pray that I will not get in the way of what your spirit and your word want to accomplish. I pray that nothing will get in that way. I pray that you will help our hearts and our minds and our thoughts. I pray for those who, for some, it may have been a struggle to be here this morning. I pray that you will cause whatever struggles were there to be taken out of their minds and out of their hearts so that they can focus on your word this morning. I pray for those of us who it was maybe easier to come this morning, and I pray that for those who have come, I pray that all of us have come with a desire to study your word, to hear it, and to be more like Jesus in the way that we live. I pray for all of us this morning that your Holy Spirit will have free reign in our lives. I pray that any distractions of this day that may be in our minds, I pray that those would be taken away so that we can fully focus on Jesus and on his word to us this morning. May everything we say and do today give you praise. Help us to obey what you've called us to do. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Our big idea this morning is this, and it's pretty straightforward, and it's one that we're going to keep coming back to as we have these family services for a little while. God wants us to be healthy Christians for his glory. So the big idea this morning is this: be a healthy Christian for the glory of God. But some of us might be wondering, well, how can I do that? How can I be a healthy Christian? When we think of being healthy, maybe children, you realize some of this, or maybe parents, you realize some of this, or grandparents, you're telling your children. There's a number of things we tell children or we tell ourselves to do to be healthy, such as don't eat dirt. Your parents ever have to tell you that? Don't eat dirt. It's not good for you. It doesn't make you healthy. Though they say, right, a lot of us experts, whatever, say when people die, they find like maybe a pound of dirt inside them over the years. But don't eat dirt. There's a lot of things. Don't run across traffic. Look both ways. Eat your veggies. Don't just eat candy all the time. There's a lot of things that we do because we want to be healthy physically, and that's good. You know, God cares about our physical being, but he also, more than that, cares about our spiritual hearts. And he's given us a lot of good commands because he loves us. When our parents tell us to not eat dirt, it's because they don't love us, because they do love us. When God says, don't do this, or he says, go and do this, it's because he wants us to be healthy Christians for his glory. So how can we be healthy Christians? Well, that's what we want to look at. And today, we're just going to be in part one of this, because hopefully there's a lot of areas in the Bible that God tells us how we can be healthy Christians? And so we're going to hope to answer that question as we go through, how can I be a healthy Christian? There's this little guy who's going to be here to help us as we go through. And I'm not good with graphics, so you know, hopefully these go okay. But from time to time, we're going to look at God's Word, or we're going to look to passages of Scripture, and we want to remember that God gives us these words to help us be healthy Christians. So how can I be a healthy Christian? Well, the first one comes back to what we read this already in John 3:16. First step in being a healthy Christian is this. One, be ready to meet Jesus. You know, all of us are going to meet Jesus one day. I hope you're looking forward to it. I can't wait. I cannot wait to see Jesus face to face. In fact, as I grow older and older, and as children grow up, and hopefully their love for Christ comes more as we get older, and we see this world that is so broken, man, I can't wait to see Jesus, because I know He died for me. And as John 3:16 says, He's offered me eternal life through Him. As we read in John 3:16, for God so loved the world, He sent His Son Jesus so that we would be ready to meet Jesus, to be ready to be received by God into heaven through faith in Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter whether you're a child or whether you're a teenager, whether you're an adult, you need to realize that all of us need to be ready to meet Jesus. This is how it starts. This is what it means to be a healthy Christian. We're ready. Our hearts are ready. Our lives are ready. The reason we see here, God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, so whoever believes in Him, there's our little be there, but believe in Jesus. Because if you don't believe in Christ, if you don't ask Jesus to forgive you for your sins, you don't believe that you need to be saved from your sin, there is a punishment for sin. This is something that children need to know, but teenagers need to know, adults need to know, the world needs to know, that we're not okay apart from God. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And so Jesus came so that we would not have to perish in hell, but that we could have eternal life by believing in Jesus. You know, there was a Philippian jailer, a man who lived in Philippi. He had done a lot of terrible things in his life. In fact, he had beat Paul and Silas without any reason and put them in jail. And yet God worked in his heart, and he saw the power of God as God sent an earthquake and released Paul and Silas from jail. And when this Philippian jailer realized he needed to be saved, he came to Paul and he fell on his knees and he said, "What must I do to be saved? I know I need to be saved. What must I do?" I'm so thankful. Apostle Paul, he made it very short and sweet, but so true. Just what Jesus would say. He said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved." You know, the most important thing that we can understand, grandparents, the most important thing you can pass on to your children and your grandchildren is that they need to be ready to meet Jesus. Teenagers, one of the best things that you can tell people at your school or as you go through life is that, guys, girls, we got to be ready to meet Jesus. Because if we're not ready, it doesn't matter how great your grades are, it doesn't matter how good you are in sports, it doesn't matter how much money you might make after you go and get your career, if you're not ready to meet Jesus, then it's all for nothing. All for nothing. But the good news is, if you believe in Jesus, you're saved from your sin, you will be saved. Does God ever tell a lie? No. Our children know that. Do we know that, adults? God never tells a lie. He's always true. When He says you will be saved, you believe in Jesus, it's a promise. We rest in that promise. That's what gives us hope for going through this life, because I have believed in Christ. I've received His gift of salvation. I am ready to meet Jesus. Because as I said, all of us will meet Jesus one day. If you have a Bible, if you want to turn to Philippians chapter 2, or if you want to follow along on the screen, I want to read a couple verses that are very powerful, very encouraging, but also very serious. We need to make sure that we're ready to meet Jesus. Philippians chapter 2, verse 9 says, "Therefore, because Jesus has died on the cross for our sins, because He was obedient, He went to the cross, He died on the cross in our place, and He rose from the grave. Because of that," it says in verse 9, "God has highly exalted Him, has bestowed upon Jesus the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." All of us one day will bow to King Jesus. And not just us, everyone that's ever lived will bow to Jesus, and they will say, Jesus, you are Lord. And I pray that you are ready to meet Jesus, because I pray that when you're bowing to rejoice in who Jesus is, you're rejoicing in him as your Savior, as your good shepherd, who says, come into the heaven, the place I've prepared for you. But the reality is, there are many people who will be saying, yes, Jesus is Lord, and bowing as he is condemning them, because they refuse to believe. They were not ready, and it was too late. The only time you have to believe in Jesus and be ready to meet him is now in this life. Now, there's some people, I was so sad to hear about the individual who got hit by the vehicle here in Middletown, and they passed away. And my heart goes out to their family. My heart goes out to the people who were there. None of us ever know how long we'll have to live. I don't say that to scare you, but I say that to just be a reality. We need to be ready to meet Jesus today. Maybe in your heart you know that you've never asked Jesus to forgive you for your sin. You know you're a sinner, but you've never believed in Christ alone to save you from your sin. Maybe you thought, well, if I just learn enough Bible verses, which is it good to memorize God's word? Yes. Is it good to be in church? Yes. But doing all these outward things, that won't save you. We do that because we love Jesus, because he has saved us. But the only way we can be saved is by believing in Jesus Christ and asking him to forgive us for our sins. And he makes a promise, if you believe on my name, you will be saved. So we need to be ready to meet Jesus. I just want to read one more verse. Jesus was speaking this. As he was speaking, he said this to some people as he was teaching them. He said, therefore, you must also be ready. Be ready, because the Son of Man, that was the name of Jesus, be ready, because Jesus is coming in an hour you did not expect. You know, one day Jesus is going to return to this earth. He's going to call his church home, and another time he's going to come back. We call that the second coming of Christ, and he's going to come at that time to judge this world. And people will not be ready. He says, you be ready. Make sure you're ready. Many people won't, but you make sure you are. So the first thing that we can do to be a healthy Christian is to be ready to meet Jesus. And if you're ready to do that, that's wonderful. Praise the Lord. I'm thankful for William and Marcus and others who have been baptized, they're about to be baptized, but they are saying this morning when they get baptized that I'm ready to meet Jesus. And I want you all to know that, and I want to live for him. That's what baptism is all about. Rejoicing in what Jesus has done for us. If you are ready to meet Christ, the second thing, another thought we have, and there's a number of things we can do, but here's another way to be a healthy Christian. We need to be reading and listening to God's word each day. Because it's not enough. Jesus doesn't just save us from our sin and then say, okay, now you're on your own. You go figure out how to be a good Christian on your own. No, he gives us his Bible. He gives us the Word of God. He gives us all the truths, all the way from Genesis to Revelation, to teach us how to be a godly Christian, how to be ready to meet Jesus, but also how to grow as a Christian, how to be healthy, how to learn what's right, how to learn to say no to sin, how to learn to encourage one another to love Jesus with our lives. We need to be reading. How many of you can read? I know not everybody raised their hand, but how many of you can listen? Oh, I think all of us can listen. Now, listening's hard sometimes, isn't it? I am reminded of that often as a dad and as a husband, that I can hear, but I don't always listen. There's a difference between hearing and listening, right? Many times we can hear our parents maybe saying to us growing up, okay, pick up your room, make your bed, brush your teeth, get ready for bed. 20 minutes go by. Hey, how are you guys doing up there? I'm not talking about anyone I know, because my boy is, I'm probably speaking more of personal experience. Hey, what do you got? I had two brothers. And so the three of us in a room at one time for most of our growing up life was fun. But sometimes the fun got higher than listening. I remember sometimes my dad would say, it's time to go to bed. My dad was in the Air Force, and he got up very early in the morning. When he came home at night, he was worn out. He was tired. And my dad normally liked to go to bed around 9 p.m. Does that seem early? 9 p.m.? Well, for someone who got up very early, though, it was actually really late. When my dad got in bed, my dad loved us. He was not a mean man at all. But when he got in bed, you knew that unless the house is on fire, unless someone breaks into our house, unless there's an emergency, you do not wake dad, because he needs his sleep. And if dad did come out of bed, he loved you, but he made it very clear that you should have been asleep. So I remember there were nights sometimes where we'd be messing around and my mom would come and she'd say, boys, you need to settle. Hear that? Settle. That's an old word. You need to settle down. It's time to go to sleep. If your dad comes in, then we listen. But we heard mom say that, but we didn't really listen. Then all of a sudden we'd hear, boys. Ooh. You're like, I hope he stays in bed. And sometimes he wakes, he's so tired. Sometimes they go, boys, you need to go to sleep. If I get up, you're going to get a spanking. We went right to bed. It's one thing to hear. It's another thing to listen. You know Jesus knew that? He said, blessed are those who hear my words and obey them. There were a lot of people who heard things that Jesus said. But he says, you have ears to hear. I want you to really listen well. Listen and obey my word. In Psalm 119, verses 105, there's a verse that encourages us to read and listen to God's word so that we can obey it. Read it each day. King David, how many of you remember King David? King David wrote Psalm 119, and he says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. How many of you like going out in the dark woods at night with no flashlights? Any of you here like that? There are some people like that. Some people like to go out. I don't. I want to see where I'm going. In fact, I like to know where I'm going so much that I actually have a flashlight in my pocket that I keep with me, just in case I drop my keys or drop something in the car and I want to see where I'm going. Last Sunday night, we were thankful for some flashlights and some lights when the power went out here. And we were still able to sing because we had our flashlights or we had our cell phones. We like lights. We need light to many times see where we're going. David knew what it was to be out in the dark many times, especially as a shepherd watching the sheep, or also, you know, as a military commander going at nighttime. Whenever they had light, light was important because it would show you where you're walking. Here he says, your word, God, your word, the Bible, is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. It will never lead me the wrong way. Adults, we got to believe that and we got to live that. We need to show our children that God's word is what lights our way. It's not what culture says. It's not what even my own heart wants to say. It's what God's word says. Children, you can be reading, and maybe you can't read yet, but you can be listening to God's word. Parents, read the word with your children. Read the word to your children. We have so many opportunities today to hear the word on your phone or maybe on a CD or some MP3 player. You can download the word of God freely today. We still can do that. We have no excuse to not listen and hear God's word today. David also said that in Psalm 119, he knew that he was tempted to sin many times. In fact, David did commit sin many times in his life, but he would go to God and he would confess his sin. But in Psalm 119, verse 9, he says, how can a young man keep his way pure? This is one that my parents gave me to memorize, especially as I was growing up. Young men, we struggle with temptation, but it's not just young men, it's young women too. All of us struggle with temptation to sin for whatever reason it might be, whatever temptation it may be. It's because we have a sin nature. But David says, how can I keep my way pure? How can a young man keep his way pure? Here's how: by guarding it according to your word. Realize no sword or no earthly shield is going to protect you from sin's temptation ultimately. The only thing David knew that could ultimately help him learn to say no to sin was the word of God. There's reasons why God wants us to read and listen to his word. One is so we don't sin. We learn to say no to sin because we want to be healthy Christians. Someone who says they're a Christian but just goes on sinning and sinning is not a healthy Christian. And in fact, the Apostle John says, if you say you're in light, you're a Christian, but you're living in darkness all the time, you're not telling the truth. The truth's not in you. You're not really a Christian. One of the ways that we can know that we truly are saved is by learning to say no to sin. Doesn't mean we're perfect, but even when we do sin, we know that God's word tells us how to confess that sin to God. In 1 John 1:9, confess your sins. God is faithful and just to forgive us, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness so we can be light in a dark world. I love how David here says, with my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. Children, have any of you wandered from your parents in the grocery store? It can be kind of a scary time. It happened to me a couple times. Actually, only a couple times, because I didn't want to happen again. It's very easy for us to wander away sometimes from God's word, because this world has so much that it wants to tell us is better than what God's word says. And there's a lot of good things that God has given us in this world. How many of you like football? I love football. How many of you like baseball? How many of you like riding your bikes? All kinds of activities we can do. Spring's coming. I can't wait. How many of you love playing in the snow? I'll just give that out there. There are those. I like playing in the snow for a little bit. There's lots of good things that God's given us. How many of you like your cell phones? How many of you see it more as, I wish I could throw it the other side but I'm stuck with it. There's a lot of good tools and things that God gives us, but if we're not careful, we can even have those good things will help us, cause us to wander away from what's best. God says, I want you to be a healthy Christian. So read and listen to my word. And David says, I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Read God's word. Listen to it. God's word will help you say no to sin. Caleb read this morning, Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ, God's word, dwell in us richly. God says here, let God's word almost take up home in your hearts. How many of you enjoy having company over and having them spend the night with you? How many of you are like, well, I know there's times that I really don't like having company over. There's so much work. What does someone who is generous and hospitable do for someone when they come over to your house? Maybe you're waiting for a grandma and grandpa to come visit you, or a cousin, or you know, a relative you haven't seen for a while, a brother or sister. Well, you probably clean the house a little bit, or you at least straighten things up, or maybe the room they're staying in, you put fresh sheets on the bed, and you make sure everything's comfortable for them, and you make it so when that person comes, they feel welcome, and they feel loved. Has anyone ever told you, make yourself at home? Feel free to go to the fridge, get what you'd like out of there. Maybe some we don't go that far. Maybe that's only for close friends, but make yourself at home. What God is saying here, if you want to be a healthy Christian, make God's word at home. Don't let God's word feel. Have any of you ever visited someone and you know they really don't kind of want you there, but they're like, well, they knocked on the door, so we got to let them in. So they kind of come in and they say, you want something? Maybe they don't even offer you anything to drink or whatever. And you just kind of sit there and the conversation go anywhere. And then you're kind of like, well, I guess I better leave because I'm not comfortable here. That's not how God wants it when his word comes to our life. He doesn't want you, oh, I better read God's word today because oh, if I don't, you know, God won't love me, which is not true. But you know, you do all this. Well, I'm just going to read. Okay, I'm done. Got that done. I'm on to my life. No. He wants us to love his word. So that is probably one of the greatest thing we look forward to in that day even is reading and listening to God's word. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. And when we do, we'll have wisdom to teach one another, to encourage one another, to admonish one another. You know what that word admonish means? It means to gently, lovingly say to someone, hey, what you're doing isn't right because that's not going to please Jesus. But let's look at a better way. God's word will help us do that. You know, sometimes kids, children, teens, adults, God allows us to be in a situation where we have an opportunity to admonish someone, to point them to Jesus, hey, there's a better way than what you're doing right now. This isn't right. Is that always easy? No. There's times when I've seen people doing wrong and I wish I didn't see that. Because now I need to go encourage them to not do that or tell them that you need to stop. But you know what? God has a purpose for that. It's not for me to be nosy, but it's for me to show them the love of Christ. Say, hey, this is not good for you. This is not right. And when we do that, we'll have thankfulness in our hearts to God when we make God's word. A couple more. One more says, Hebrews 4:12 tells us that the word of God is living. It's active. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. It's piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. I don't like getting cut. Do any of you like getting cut? I don't at all. But there was a time when I had to have knee surgery. I messed up my knee. I blew out part of my knee when I was in high school. It was not fun. And you know what? The doctors had to go in, and they had to use a very small but a very sharp instrument to help repair what was done in my knee. That was a good thing. What God's word does, here the author of Hebrews says, God's word is like a very sharp scalpel, like what a doctor uses. It can also be like a sword, but it's like a sharp knife that comes in and cuts out what shouldn't be there or opens in our lives and says, hey, you see this stuff in your life that's not really pleasing to God? That needs to not be there. And God helps us with his word. Sometimes reading the word of God can be a little painful because it shows us where we need to change, but it's helpful because it says, this is God loves you, and he's showing you this because he loves you. Psalm 19, verse 7 through 11. As we think of this bee, David goes on in Psalm 19 to say, the law of the Lord is perfect. It revives my soul. God's word is sure. It makes wise the simple. The precepts or the rules of the Lord are right. They rejoice his heart, he says. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. God's word is clean and has no sinfulness in it. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. And then as he closes this section, he says, more, I desire God's word more than all the gold in the world, even the best gold in the world. What do you think you would do if you found some gold on the ground? I'd be excited. Like, whoa, look at this gold coin. I'd probably have to check and see if someone lost it, but no one lost it. This is your gold to keep. I would be excited. I would probably treasure that. I would put it maybe in the bank, or I'd put it somewhere safe. But David says, you know what? God's word is more precious to me than all the gold in the world. And David knew what it was to have gold as a king. He says, God's word is my best treasure that I have. And he actually says, God's word is sweeter also than honey. How many of you enjoy honey? I hope you're not allergic. Some people are allergic. How many enjoy honey? Okay, I enjoy honey. One of my favorite things to do is get a nice piece of bread, put some butter on there, and then put some honey. And oh, it's really good. David says, as sweet as honey is, God's word is even sweeter. Because you know what happens with honey? It's sweet for a little while, and then you swallow it, and it's gone. And maybe that taste stays for a little bit, but then it's gone. But what David says, God's word is sweeter because it stays precious with me all my life. And it just gets sweeter and sweeter as I read and listen to it. You want to be a healthy Christian? Be ready to meet Jesus and read and listen to God's word each day. Every day, listen to God's word. Not just on Sundays, not just when you feel like it, but every day. Thirdly, we've got two more real quick that we're going to go through. How to be a healthy Christian? Be praying. Be praying to God each day. Turn, if you would, to Philippians chapter 4. You can follow along on the screen. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Paul, at this point, as he was writing this letter, the Apostle Paul, he was in a very hard situation. He was in prison. He had been put in prison because he wanted to tell people to love Jesus with their lives. He was telling them about God's love for them, and people didn't want to hear it. And so they put him in prison. But that didn't stop Paul from being a blessing. He said, you know what, let's pray. And he said to the church, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer. By prayer and supplication, that means asking. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. When we think about what prayer is basically us telling God, thank you. Thank you, God, for being so good. Thank you, God, for loving me. And it's also asking God, God, would you help me in these areas? This word supplication means asking. Ask the Lord for what you need, and God will answer in his perfect way. It says we don't have to be anxious. There's a lot of things we can be anxious about today, isn't it? School, work, health, money. There's times when I wish as I was a little younger, because it didn't seem there was much to worry about when I was younger. Food was always on the table, right? All you had to worry about was making sure you were doing what mom and dad wanted you to, and you were, you know, doing what you needed to at school and all that. As we grow older, we start to realize the world's a lot bigger place than we thought it was. If we're not careful, we can start to get anxious. You know what Paul says here? He had every right to be anxious, to be worried. He was in prison, but he said, you know what? I've learned wherever I am, I can be content. Because God keeps his word. And he says, here, let's pray instead of be anxious. Let's be thankful to God. And later on, he says, the peace of God will come to our hearts. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2, he says, continue steadfastly in prayer. Don't stop praying, keep praying. So be in prayer to God every day, each day. Pray to him. How many of you ask the Lord, or you thank the Lord for your food before you eat? That's great. We should be thankful. But if the only time we pray during the day is breakfast, lunch, dinner, or maybe you don't have breakfast, you skip some, whatever, but the only time you pray is to thank God for the food, we need to do better than that as Christians. Because if you really love someone, you talk to them. And God wants you to love him with all your heart. He wants you to be thankful to him, and he wants to bless you as you obey him through prayer. So continue steadfastly. Don't stop praying. But be watchful in it. Be watchful to pray every day with thanksgiving. I'll just read a couple more verses real quick. Luke 11, verse 9 and 10. This is Jesus speaking. He says, I tell you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. Have any of you ever been knocking on a door before, and you're knocking, 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 you know the person's home, but they're not opening the door? Man, that can be really frustrating, can't it? You can almost feel like they don't want to talk to you. But when we pray to God, he says, no, keep praying, and God will open the door at the right time. He will answer you. If you're looking for what God wants you to know, he will show it to you. Ask, seek, knock. He says, for everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, it will be opened. I want to read one more on prayer from 1 Timothy chapter 2. This is the Apostle Paul again. He says, I urge you. I urge that supplications, asking, prayers, intercessions, thanksgivings be made for all people, for kings and all who are in high positions, so that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. Do any of you sometimes struggle with prayer because you don't know what to pray about? Has that ever happened to you? Maybe it doesn't. You say, oh, there's so much to pray about. But sometimes as we're going to prayer, we may, what does God want me to pray about? Well, go to God's Word again, if you're reading His Word. And we find throughout Scripture things that we should pray for. Obviously, pray for our own hearts that we live for Jesus. But here it even says, pray for others. Pray for your president. Pray for your governor. Pray for your community leaders. Pray for people that they will love Jesus. We need to make sure our prayers aren't just all about us. There's so much that we should be in prayer for God for. I've said this before, but I think this is so true. Prayer is the Christian's declaration of dependence upon God. Prayer is telling God, I can't be a healthy Christian in my own strength. I need your help. So, Father, help me in this situation. Help me to love you. Help me to love others. Help me to point people to Jesus. I said there were four. Here's the last one. We talked about be ready to meet Jesus. Be listening and hearing God's word each day. Be in prayer to God each day. And then fourthly, and if you're here, you're doing that this morning, praise God, be worshiping God with His church each week. Be a faithful church family. I'll just look at one verse. Hebrews chapter 4, chapter 10, verse 24 says, and let us consider how to stir up one another to love and to good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. I was recently reading through a little book. It says, How to Come to Church. And it encourages us with this thought. Hey, when you come to church, it's not all about you. It's not all about what you want to hear. It's not all about how you want the church to be. It's actually about you serving others as you worship together. One thing we can consider, it says here, be encouraging one another. When you come to church, already be thinking about someone that you can encourage today. How do we encourage people as Christians? Especially, how does a Christian encourage another Christian? Well, one could be praying with that person. Maybe you were praying for this person all week. And you said, I can't wait to encourage them by telling them, I've been praying for you today. I've been praying for you this week. Or, how can I pray for you this week? I want you to know that I care about you. One could be encouraging someone and say, hey, I want to share with you what God was showing me in His Word. We had an opportunity in Sunday school this morning. I'm thankful it worked out this way. Just to share, hey, this is what I've been reading in God's Word this week and how it's been impacting me. That's encouraging. Sometimes just being here is an encouragement to one another. I'm so thankful that we're able to be gathering more and more. When we first were starting to gather together, and I know that there's concerns, and I'm not trying to say that people are taking care of their health. I'm not saying they don't love Jesus. I'm not saying that. But it is an encouragement to see you all here. It's encouragement to be together. Zoom can only do so much. I'm thankful that we have those opportunities. But even through that, we can encourage. But here, Scripture says, don't neglect to be away. Be together. We need to be encouraging one another. So be worshiping Jesus with His church each week. I encourage you to also consider Sunday morning is a blessing. But anytime the church gathers, we should have a desire to be there. We see this in the New Testament. When the church just began in Acts chapter 2, they were meeting daily. They wanted to be together. And I understand we can't meet every single day. Our culture is a little different. Our jobs are a little different. But we should desire to be together every day because we want to encourage one another. We want to grow. I want to be very careful with what I say next, and I'm speaking to adults. I've heard the phrase, and I think it's very good, but if not taken carefully, it can be meant in the wrong way. But I've met people and they've said with thankfulness, every time the church doors were open, I was there. Now, if we're not careful, that could be a pride thing because it's all about me, me, me. I'm not necessarily saying we do it for the wrong reasons. But I want to encourage you, whenever the church doors are open, we should have a desire to be there. And even when the church doors are closed, we should have a desire to be together throughout the week, praying, encouraging, having maybe Bible studies just spontaneously jump out because we're reading God's Word, we're talking about it on Sunday, say, you know what? Man, what you're studying is exactly what I'm interested in studying. Let's go have lunch together. Or let's, even if we have to do it over Zoom, do it over Zoom. But whatever it is, let's meet together regularly each week with God's church. I'll just read one quote and then we're going to close. Christians, this is by Charles Spurgeon, he wrote this a number of years ago, over 100 years ago. But he said, Christians who isolate themselves and walk alone are very liable to get drowsy. Keep Christian company, and you will be kept wakeful by it and refreshed and encouraged to make quicker progress on the road to heaven. More than ever, especially with this pandemic that's going on, I have seen the need that we are engaged together and we are worshiping God together as much as possible. And it breaks my heart to see Christians who have isolated themselves out of fear to the point of not doing anything with Christ Church. Even in our day and age, there are still ways to be connected. We need to be together. So how do we be a healthy Christian? Well, we saw we need to be ready to meet Jesus. We need to be reading and listening to God's word each day. We need to be praying to God each day. I would just say those three. It's supposed to be personal. The L got stuck there. But personal worship. This is things that we do. We can do together, but we do on our own. But this last one, be worshiping God with his church. This is corporate worship. But it's all about worshiping Jesus at the end of the day. Being a healthy Christian is all about giving worship to God. So when I am ready to meet him, I believe in him as my Savior, and I'm believing in him for salvation alone. I'm worshiping him. And when I am listening to his word and praying to him, I am worshiping him in my heart. But when we gather together, we do all that together. This is what our life is about. So may we be a healthy Christian for the glory of God. Questions: are you ready to meet Jesus? I pray that you are. Are you reading and listening to God's word each day? You say, Pastor Sam, that's a struggle. I know it's a struggle because our world is so busy. But may we not let anything cause us to not be ready to meet Jesus. Are you praying to God each day? Children, you can do this. I'm thankful I don't have to read to be able to pray to God. I can thank him every day. Are you worshiping God with this church each week? Could I just say to parents and grandparents, we set the example for our children to follow in this. So parents, if you're not reading God's word each day and listening to his word, why in the world should your children have a desire to? Children love to copy their parents. My slippers, I went to put them on this morning, and there were flip-flops in them. Because William was wearing my slippers. It was pretty cool. It was the warmest flip-flops I'd seen. But you know what? He wanted to wear Dad's slippers. I think that's pretty cool. I like that. Because it means he loves me. Children are going to want to do what they see their parents doing. And they're not going to want to do what they don't see their parents doing. Parents, grandparents, all of us together, let's minister to our children by setting the example to show what it means to be ready to meet Jesus, to be reading his word, to be praying, to be worshiping him. So may we be healthy Christians for the glory of God.